No, we know there's witches out here, but we ain't doing nothing.
No. I'm Austin.
And I'm Cloud.
This is We Watch.
Today's movie is Ghost in the Graveyard. Ghost in the Graveyard is a 2019 haunting thriller film directed by Charlie Camporetto, starring Jake Busey, Kelly Berglund, and Olivia Larson. Ghost in the Graveyard will be released on November 5th. How about a plot synopsis?
Well, after returning home from 9 months... stuff gets weird. Young lady named Sally, who, when she was a child, her friend Martha, ended up falling to her death in a graveyard. And now she's haunted by the ghost, and some witches want to kill her because, Biel's a boss. And then the cops are like the Knights Templar. And then the dad's been keeping secrets. And I still have no idea what was actually going on.
No.
Like, this feels like it's meant to be part of, like, a series. And it left you hanging just enough, but then at the same time, the ending also kind of tried to wrap it up to let you know, well, it's not over, but it's over.
Well, what it kind of is, if you're talking about the narration at the end,
yeah,
it's a little Terminator 2 ending narration, kind of like
dun, dun, dun.
Things will happen in the future, and now I'm part of this, and dun, things dun, will happen. Dun. Yeah, it really is. Like it's not necessarily that we're ever going to see more of the story. It's just that we're implying that events will transpire in the future, and there's a war between good and evil.
All right, so before we carry on, there's a few little things that I've kind of learned, and if this is actually true, then hooray, and if it's not, well, then whatever. But supposedly the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery is a graveyard is actually connected to a specific church, while a cemetery is merely a burial ground. And so I don't remember there being a specific church attached other than we see a nun. So even if it was called
the nuns at school too.
Yeah.
So
like maybe the school's part church. I don't know. But it's one of those things where, like, if it is supposed to be a cemetery and someone calls it a graveyard, I have no issue with that. Because I've spent like so long just with the words being
interchangeable. I didn't even know there was a difference. Like,
yeah,
people
neither
used
did I.
Them interchangeably.
Yeah, like there was just this thing, and it's just like, oh, did you know there's actually a difference between the two? And I'm like, well, does it really matter?
There are graves in both.
Yeah, there's dead people, supposedly. I can't see them. It's like Schrodinger's cat or whatever. You know? It could be dead people. Could be living people.
Schrodinger's dead people?
It could be. But at the same time, One of the little things I love seeing as
they're
I
dead.
Maybe that's what I put my money on. it's always these little things where, like, would you shoot your best friend for $1 million? Would you live in this house with no internet for $1 million? Like all this kind of stuff. And there's one, and I absolutely
those are not equivalent dares.
No,
at all.
And like one of my favorite ones is it's like this picture of like a little cemetery thing, and it's just like, If you were asked to work here for $80 an hour, would you? And I'm like, one, I'm not worried about no haunted cemetery. And two, yo, demons, it's me, your boy. I'm getting that $80 an hour cleaning up a cemetery. I'm fine with that.
Well, that's something that I was thinking about, especially in the beginning. And then again, just before the kid gets beat to death with his own baseball. I was never afraid of cemeteries.
Yeah, neither was I.
I mean,
they're dead.
Like, they're not going to hurt anybody.
I mean,
there's
Thriller,
nothing to be, there's nothing to be scared. Yeah.
Thriller wasn't even that scary. Like, I'm expecting, like, if I'm going to see, like, ghost zombies, I expect them to dance. If they ain't dancing, then I'm disappointed. I'm not scared.
Yeah, it's not, There shouldn't. I mean, it turns out.
Why'd they beat the kid up, though?
That there is something to be scared of.
Like, because witches?
Because there are actually ghosts or witches or both or demons or something.
They're not even magic witches.
But, well, I mean, the fingernail thing.
Like, bruh,
that's
like,
not normal.
They got shot in the face and died.
They did. Well, not even in the face, some of them. And they,
like,
still
the one
died.
Lady got,
yeah,
shot in the chest. But,
well,
know, yeah.
I mean, I don't think there. It's not like.
Salt shotguns.
You could have witch magic and still be, like, not unkillable. Like, I mean, I'm not sure. There's this war happening
over in Iraq and Syria.
Well,
obviously it ain't here, because, like, check this out. Yeah. You got some ladies, like, in their night robes.
But they're,
which, like,
yeah,
they're
doing,
they,
like,
makes,
weird, like, Hills Have Eyes kind of stuff over there in the distance when they're on the hill with the light that I don't know what's producing it behind them.
Now, granted, I really do like that sound effect. Like, when they're trying, air quote, to sneak up on people, because they're like, oh, no, here, let me help you up. And then you can just hear, like the whispering calamity as they approach, and no one can hear it except us. And I'm like, hey, I like that sound effect. But why can't anyone else hear this?
Well, there are other times that, like, horror sound effects are just for us. Like, the ghost is in the other bedroom or whatever, and she walks past it, and like, we see it, and then it's like, da-da! And then she's like, wait. And she just, like, kind of, like, walks back to check it out. And so she didn't jump. She wasn't aware. Like, she kind of saw it.
Bro, as she walked by. I didn't need no sound cue to see, like, a little girl.
No, we saw it.
Hi, come on.
We saw it.
The jump scare stuff is annoying, and luckily they don't do it too much, so I'll give them some credit on that. The only direct issue I have with audio is whenever, I guess, the older brother's driving her to the party or something where they're gonna go smoke.
They don't go to the party, though.
I don't know.
We go
from
them driving in the car to then she's taking a creepy bath,
yeah,
in the dark, and, like, opening her eyes with bath salt in the water. But I don't know what happened between then and then. They don't seem to have gone to the party.
But, like, they play music, and they play the music, and we can hear it. Like, it's just supposed to be music for the film. But then it's like they're listening to it in the van. And yeah, then they turn it down, but I don't actually see them turn it down, because now they're going to start talking. But then you can still hear it. And then she freaks out because she sees the ghost of Martha. And then, like, he immediately stops. And I don't like that. I don't like that edit. Like, you can tell that if they were actually driving, that they literally cut, had them stop, and then picked it back up. And, like, I think that's more jarring than them just trying to brake to slow down. And they're like, you were trying to kill us. And I'm like,
yeah,
dude, you didn't see anything. She just yelled stop. And then y'all immediately went from, like, doing, like, 40 to zero.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, it was you for spazzing. Calm down. All right.
Well, I mean, he
but the audio for that scene was bad. Like,
he followed orders. She was like, stop. And he was like, all right. I don't know why, but I'm stopping. And he did. Real, real fast. I mean, they weren't going that fast.
I mean, yes.
We kept getting
that.
We kind of alternated between them driving in the car and then, like, the camera attached to the front of the car, and they didn't seem to be going that fast, so it wouldn't take that long to stop.
Now, I know it's just a movie and it kind of has to be this way, but something that really aggravated me was just how slow everybody in a vehicle moved. And so, like, I'm sure that that had to be done for the filming purposes so it looked clean. But at the same time,
I guess it's just movie shit.
Yeah. but it really does kind of hurt whenever you can see, like, the police pulling up and you're like, it is the slowest crawl. Like, your accelerator is just garbage, and your vehicle's just like 2 inches, like a minute. And like, oh, you can see the sister in the back, like in the foreground, and you're just slowly pulling up. You might as well just get out and walk. You're gonna walk faster than your car's moving. Just stop.
It was all garbage.
Or like, when the cop does pull up to the house, and he hits his little siren, and then he just kind of creeps into the park.
He just chirps it just a little bit.
Like, bro, why?
He wants them to know that he's there, because he promised he would keep an eye on things.
And
so it's like, here I am, keeping an eye on things.
Later he dies, and then, like, slushy comes out of his mouth.
He does, yeah.
Now, I like that, surprisingly enough. Like, of all of the kind of effects, you know. Like, hey,
It keeps going on, too.
Do you like cherry? No? How about strawberry? Strawberry's good? All right. Someone go to the 7-Eleven, get, like, a strawberry slushy, or icy, whatever they carry. I don't care.
7-Eleven is Slurpees, right?
I think it's Slurpees at 7-Eleven. Yeah. I think so.
I haven't lived close to a 7-Eleven in like 6 years, so I don't know.
Yeah. You know, and he just kind of just load it up. Don't drink all of it, and then just let it kind of flow out your mouth. I'm like, all right. I mean, it's dirty enough it doesn't look like ice, but it ain't clean enough to look like it's his internal organs coming out of his face.
Yeah, well, it's better. You know, much is made, of course, of the, and we probably discussed, although not that much because it doesn't really appear for that long and it's not really worth talking about. But much is talked about the pea soup, like, projectile vomit in The Exorcist, and I was never that impressed by that. And this was, I think, a more effective effect than that.
Really?
I do kind of have questions about how exactly it is that he died and why he's like his insides are coming out, because it looks like he was just like strangled or something. But
oh my goodness, this mic thing's pissing me off because it just keeps drooping down. I don't want it to be drooping down. Okay, maybe this is better. Does this sound better? Okay. Well, you know, like, I'm trying to cover my mouth so you don't hear, like, the... Wait.
But it's still going on when she runs into the woods. In front of witnesses, apparently? I guess.
I think I was a little more accepting of the witnesses saw Lady run into the woods. Because, you know, there's got to be, like, some grandma who, like, pulled over. But, like, the police! Oh, no! They got the police! And then, like, calls more police. There's a lady ran out in the woods.
They know who it is, though. They know it's her. Which, it seems to be a very small town.
Uh-huh.
There seems to be one store, which is the hardware store.
And three police.
That the dad works at. And three police. Now there's two police.
One police.
That's right. One police. Yeah, he's the only one that makes it. But.
And I like him. He's my favorite character.
Oh, the like the main sheriff guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to stories like this, whenever you have the dad character or the mom character, whoever is supposed to be the parental guardian that's watching over the children that something is supposed to revolve around, if they're small, I'll let you get away with secrets. I think that's kind of fine because, like, normally you can have a little bit more control over the children and what they can do. I don't like the whole, I let my kid, quotes, go out in the middle of the night to play in the cemetery when I know that she's important and then there's going to be people out to get her.
Nah, it was 10 years ago.
If she didn't magically become like the descendant of Mary recently.
No, she was, yeah, that once that's revealed, that kind of changes everything.
Yeah, and so it's like the setup for we're playing in the middle of the day and now we're playing in the middle of the night and now Martha it has fell to her death. Like that setup I don't really like so much because of the father. You know, I think it'd be different if they were actually after the child, but they wanted to sacrifice the child's mom, and it would have actually been her because she was gone for 9 months because she got pregnant or something towards that line. But they don't take that route. And because they don't take that route and they make it about her specifically, you know, one, I don't really know whose child this is. And then I also don't understand why the dad would let the kid off in the middle of the night anyways. Like, these little things, they look good to begin with, but then once you start trying to explain stuff, they fall apart. And I'm like, well, if he was so enamored by this, then why did he let this happen to begin with? You know, you'd think someone would be there watching him compared to, well, other than the witch ladies in the forest. Why didn't they just grab her there? They were there. They watched her.
Yeah.
You know, it's little stuff like that is what causes these explanations to either not have the impact they should or cause detriment to the story itself. But now that she is older, having the parent try to keep secrets is only okay if the parent is supposed to be evil to begin with and is going to sacrifice the child themselves. But because they're not doing that and they're trying to protect the child, that's when you kind of got to let them in. Like, listen, I can't tell you too much now, but you're kind of important and your mother was kind of important and some people got to your mom and that's why she's dead and they're after you and I'm trying to keep you safe. So you got to be careful and you got to take care of yourself. You just have to know that there's people after you. You know, it's like you're not telling her too much right off the bat, but at the same time, you're not being so secretive that she's now got to put herself in danger to try to find things out.
Well, when were they planning to tell her?
They
seem to be really heavily keeping the secrets. Like the lady that works at the town hall, like, calls him immediately after the daughter's there looking for information. The sheriff is in on it. Like, everyone seems to be in on it.
Well, that was something I couldn't hear what she was saying, but I didn't know that the lady at the office actually called the dad.
Well, she either called the dad or the sheriff.
Well, I almost thought she was one of the witches.
I don't think so.
Because, like, we only get to see a handful of characters, adults, and they're either witches or they're not, or they're, like, fighting against the witches. Like, there doesn't seem to be an exact in-between.
No, well, I mean, the not really the boyfriend doesn't seem to be, like, on any particular side of anything. He just seems to exist.
Yeah, but he almost gets killed off.
Yeah.
Almost. Luckily, they did not. But at some point, why did they not kill him?
I don't know. I mean, the popular girl's mom is, like, really, like, witch out in the open.
Yeah.
Like, she walks in the house, there's just, like, stacks of books that just say witch kind of things on them, and there's just one right on top that says demonic possession in red letters on a black spine, so it's really easy to see what's going on. And then she's really creepy, and she's not hiding her.
Were you drawn to the
witching
book?
Like, I mean,
not really. I mean, it was just on the top of the stack, and I was like, "Hey, look, it's an interesting book." So I picked it up. Like, what's underneath? Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been.
It almost seemed like the Zoe, the popular girl, was not really aware that she was a witch or something, because, like, the fingernails thing happens and then she's, like, afraid that it happened, but then she goes outside and is, like, rubbing the blood on her face in kind of an enjoyable looking manner.
Well, okay, so with that, I'm not sure if the nails were supposed to have grown or they do make it look like it, but we don't really see any kind of witch powers. Hear me out. We don't really see anything until that point. And then when we do see it, I'm not sure if it was supposed to be, she didn't clamp, like, she, like, let's say, like, whenever you're filming it, she's supposed to dig her nails into the girl's arm, but they didn't do it well enough. And they're like, okay, well, we got to fix this to make it look like it. And so they just do that in post.
That seems expensive if that's not what you meant.
Maybe. But then the only next thing, the next thing that we see that's witch like is whenever she, I guess she's about to go down on the Nick guy or whatever. And then he like looks down and then she's got like the witch face because now she's going to kidnap him for part of the sacrifice or whatever. Uh-huh. And like, that's a really freaky thing. But
I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
was that like witch pot? Like, what was the. Was that a real thing that happened? Was that the drugs making it look like it happened?
Bad weed?
I'm not sure what.
But, you know, like with that, those are the only kind of instances we get that are witch magic directly. And so I'm not sure which one is really supposed to be witch. Like, how is this supposed to flow? I don't have a problem with it. Because the issues that I have with Zoe are too numerous, and these I feel aren't even important. I feel they're not even important because we start off and she's like the popular rich girl in school kind of vibes. Mm-hmm. And you're in my way, so I don't like you. Like, that's the attitude that we get. But then it's just like, oh yeah, but we were kids together playing and I was there when Martha died. So we kind of have that connection. But then, oh yeah, my mom's kind of a witch, and I know the town talks about her being a witch, and I don't like it, but I'm okay with it. But then it's like, you're trying to date the guy that I'm trying to date, and I've got like spies picking up your notes that you dropped to find out you've been writing letters. Like, there's so much going on around her that as the story progresses, until we get to the very end where it's just like, oh yeah, she's a witch. Like, we have no idea what she's going on about. So I kind of don't care about the character. I want her to be a little more simplified. Like, either we were childhood friends who grew apart, and then we're kind of making that connection again, or we're supposed to be rivals because, boy, like, pick one or the other so we can have like a more defined character, because this character makes no active sense because we have all of this confusion and then we just have a cut line and it's like, I'm witch, I'm attacking you. And that's it. That's all we get. So I don't see character development. I just see development attached to a character.
Well, after she reads the notes that she dropped in the town hall, then she's like talking to her like, oh yeah, I've seen the ghost too. And like, I know what she wants. And
but we don't know what's in the notes.
We don't know what's in the notes.
And that's part of the problem.
And we don't know that she's a witch yet.
Yeah.
Or that her mom is a witch yet. And so then, but then after we know that, it seems more like that was maneuvering maybe to, because eventually we've got to sacrifice her. Well, because it felt like she was playing some kind of angle, because that's new, because the whole rest of the, we even see flashbacks to like after the original events have happened, but before now when they're still kids, but it's a while after, and she's like on the playground and stuff, and they still don't like, nobody believes her, and she's that weird girl who thinks she sees ghosts. Or says she sees ghosts. And then suddenly she's like, oh yeah, I've seen like the ghost too, like this whole time.
Well, if we knew what the notes contained, then we would understand more of like what she actually knows. Because like that was the turning point.
But they don't
talk about the ghost. They talk about the boy. And that's the difference.
Yeah, that they were writing to each other. And they see a letter, like the letter from the whatever, something of the Mount of Anti-Witch Nuns place, something. Like, I can't remember the name of it without looking at it.
Something, but Church of the Templar or whatever. But no, like, so that's the thing, is that was a white piece of paper.
Yeah.
The note that they have is a yellow piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And but she says, oh, I know where she's been for the last 9 months. And that's why we know she's been gone 9 months. But it's these little things where it's like, here's this tidbit, but how is it connected to this reaction?
I'm really confused about the baby, though.
I'm confused about the baby as well. Whose kid is this?
Is she a virgin or not? Like, they seem to say this. I mean, I guess, well, there's the, like, they, Mary angle, and so is this supposed to be, like, an Immaculate Conception?
Well, no,
they don't
well,
play that up if that is.
Is it supposed to be that way, or is it just because of the blood relation? Because they don't talk about her having to be pure, except for the scene where they're, like, in her in the house, and, like, okay, so... I mean, she goes outside. I'm going to explain this because
she didn't
this
do it with that particular boy. But is that supposed to mean that she never did it ever?
I don't know. But like the scene goes, you hear honking. She goes outside. Sally goes outside. There's the boyfriend. They kind of make out for a second. She leaves the door open. She's carrying the what's the term for like that kind of baby alarm thing?
I get it's just a baby monitor. I guess.
Baby monitor. Okay. Yeah. It's like that's the speaker you carry, and you know you have the one by the child so you can hear it. The door's open. Person goes inside. It's very ominous feeling because stuff seems to be moving without anybody touching anything. She goes in the house, goes to sit down, or she's in the kitchen at the fridge. I think she puts the monitor on the table. And then she can hear, like, I don't want to call it growling, but it sounds like...
It's kind of like the witch whispering, though, isn't it?
Kind of, only it doesn't have that loopy... It sounds darker, like a deeper sound, like it's coming from a heavier voice compared to the ladies. And then she goes upstairs, she goes to the room, picks up the blanket. There's the doll there. I don't know why there's a doll underneath the blanket... Because she goes downstairs, sees some person in a hood. It happens to be Zoe holding the child. But why? Oh, I could hear the child crying. Really? The door was open. You didn't see me standing like right outside my house. No. Well, one, I have the baby monitor. I didn't hear no child crying. I just heard like these weird sounds. And they don't really, even though for us paying attention, like that's kind of like a little red flag of what's going on, but she doesn't pay any attention to it. And because they don't do anything with the kid, it doesn't pay off. But then like a little bit later in that scene, when they put Lily to bed, that's when they start doing the talking. And this is like, oh yeah, well you haven't slept with, oh, because, oh, you're still a virgin. Oh, you know, and then you remember the whole sacrifice, a pure spirit kind of thing. And they don't bring that up ever again.
No.
Like, this movie has so much.
They brought it up before because it's in the book that the dad's hiding at the hardware store. It says the, like, pure, like, sacrifice.
No, that was before.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, that's...
afterwards, it's not brought up again.
It's not brought up again, but it's mentioned more than once.
And even that ledger, the book, like, that's that doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the story. Like, there's so much that's here that could be used, and it's just they don't use it, and it makes me sad. Because I like the idea. Yeah, I gotta scratch my head. I like the idea that this brings. I just don't care for a lot of the execution. I don't like watching her, like, okay, we know she's not 18, and we're gonna watch her strip she puts salt in the tub, and then she's got her eyes open in the tub to see the thing. Why? That's gonna burn your eyes.
Well, we actually don't know that she's not 18 until after that scene. We don't find that out until she goes to City Hall and is told that because she's a minor, she can't look at the records.
Which is also weird.
But so then it's extra weird because it's like, well, you know, she's like supposed to be a senior in high school or something. So maybe she's 18 at least. And then like two scenes later, we come to find out, nope, she's not. So what did we just watch here?
This ain't it.
What
chief.
Did you just do? What did you just do to us?
All right. So no, go ahead.
Well, I don't have anything. I don't think.
Okay. So. Yeah, I still got like a whole bunch of
notes.
Well,
no, I mean, I don't know why I said is what I mean.
Okay. Okay, so I want to know why it's supposed to be Beelzebub specifically. Now, this is a genuine question. So because we were asked to watch this movie and do a review on it, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking interest in us. If you know the writer or if you know why they went with this direction, actually it was written and directed by the same person. So yeah, if they're listening to us. Why Beelzebub specifically? Because I know of like all the demons, and I just kind of want to know why that one was it picked, because that one has a I guess more what's the term? Popular standing behind it? Like, if you were to say Beelzebub, people are going to kind of immediately know, oh, you mean like Satan?
Yeah.
Compared to like the other. And I could have swore there was nine of them. I could have swore there was nine. But every time I hear Beelzebub, I think of Beelzeboss. And then like the music from, you know, Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny starts playing in my head. So like they're opening the book and they see the demon and he's got the horns and the goat legs. Da-na-da-na-na-na. I can't help it. I really like that song.
No goats were harmed in the making of this motion picture.
And we appreciate that. I don't remember seeing any goats, but
I wasn't worried about it because I didn't even know there were goats, but they weren't harmed.
Apparently. I wonder if there was like a witch sacrificial kind of scene that they decided to cut, and like it was supposed to. Damn. I ain't the only one having mic issues. Good. But I'm wondering if there was like that kind of scene.
Maybe there was like a flash of a goat sacrifice or something in like the early part when
maybe
when
a things goat were leg.
Yeah, I can't. It was hard. There was a lot going on. It was just like flashes of witches doing things. But so maybe there was a goat and I just didn't catch it.
Now, why did they kill the kid in the graveyard with the baseball?
Well,
they didn't actually like it wasn't some ghost, kind of weird sacrifice kind of no. thing. And the hand didn't look like the hand of a child.
No, but like they lead us to sort of
believe the
that.
Ghost did it.
But I don't know. There's no reason.
A little girl.
There's no reason to.
Let's see here. Da-da-da-da.
Well, there's this business at the beginning about the rhyme and that they're playing and we just thought we were playing a kid's game, but then it turned out. But it's not like, you know, they accidentally summoned Candyman or something. Like they didn't have anything to do with it. The kids. Like there was witches doing witch things, and there's like war since time began between forces of good and evil, and it's not they didn't do it. And so that's kind of not really for anything. I mean, I guess she can feel like she can blame herself that it feels like they had some responsibility, but they really didn't.
Well,
and so there's no, it's not like, well, when kids go in the graveyard, they don't come out. And that's not why.
Well, when they have the kids do the chanting, isn't it supposed to be like, we're going to play hide and seek in the cemetery? I thought that was fine. It's just kids being kids. What I don't like is the whole, we're now like seniors in high school and we're going to chant it again because now we're picking fun of the lady who's supposedly only been gone for 9 months. So it's a bit off-putting, especially whenever they show that. And then and when they show it like frequently. It's like through the entire movie that this little girl seems to be like this evil, demonic kind of ghost. So I can understand the point that they're trying to get at. I understand. I wish we could get a little bit more like vocal dialogue. Because if they're trying to summon Beelzebub, we're not really receiving anything from it other than like there's a foggy window that someone like scratched the fog out to say Beelzebub. We saw like the picture of him in the book, and then like the preppy girl Zoe says it once, and that's it. We don't get anything else out of it, and the little girl doesn't do enough to make her seem evil other than when she shows up, it's really creepy. So her Sally feeling bad because she kind of feels like it's her fault. I can understand that because she never gets any direct closure.
Mm-hmm.
Like even at the end of the movie, we barely get any closure on that. It's just the voiceover be like, oh, she was actually my angel. Well, she wasn't even helping you. All right.
Not really. Like, I mean, if she is the one that wrote Beelzebub in the steam, then I guess that was like a clue that eventually led to the situation resolving.
But it
not
wasn't a clue
directly.
It wasn't. It, well, that's the thing. It's not if it's not directly associated with what's going on, then because like we don't get anything from Beelzebub. You know, we don't even have like the head witch of the coven mentioned to the other witches that we have to have this girl alive to sacrifice her to resurrect Beelzebub. Like, we don't get anything like that. Like, we don't get anything for the side of these witches past that scene.
No, we
in the
don't
house.
Really know what they're up to.
And so because of that, like, regardless of who they're supposed to be, like people in the town, like we don't have to know who is who specifically. We just need to know like the overall objective. So whenever she sees like, oh, Beelzebub's coming, all this kind of stuff, now she knows what to be worried about directly, other than why is this person who I feel bad about dying keep saying Beelzebub? And then like the dad's like, no, she's possessed. Like, what?
Well, the book with the red writing did give us some like demon leanings. Or at least it put us into thinking about demons, maybe.
Well, so did the leisure, and the leisure didn't pay off for anything.
No.
It was like looking at the cover letter on the inside of a book.
Well, it's there's this end times revelation thing that runs through the whole thing, because that's what they seem to be learning about at school is revelation. But like did they stop the end times, or did it, I guess it really is more like the end is not just like thematically like the Terminator 2 ending. It kind of is the Terminator 2 ending, where it's like, well, maybe we stopped the world from ending for now, but we'll have to see, you know, what happens in the future and stuff. Because
yeah,
you know,
it's a for now.
There's still the war between good and evil. So yeah. It's the dawn of time thing happening.
Yeah, but I think that's always a fair kind of way to tell those kinds of stories. It's like, oh yeah, this was happening way before we ever came into the picture. Well, yeah, and it's probably going to keep going way after you're not in the picture anymore.
Yeah.
So it continuing isn't. I don't have a problem with that. Like those little things, I have more of an issue with. She's supposed to be related to Mary.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, someone from the Middle East magically blessed this knife.
Well, did she bless the knife or did she just own the knife?
Well, I thought he said that she blessed the knife before she left Jerusalem. Uh-huh. And all this kind of business, and that's why it's actually an antique, you know, special heirloom kind of thing. And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. But shouldn't it be like, hey, she's part of the order that's supposed to keep track of the knife compared to being like, hey, I'm actually a genetic, you know, descendant. You know, it's like, I always feel stuff like that's more of a stretch.
Yeah,
than just being like, hey, well, because like all those guys, I don't expect any of those guys to actually be blood related to any of the other Knights of the Templar kind of business going on. Like, no, you were initiated, you're branded, you're now part of this forever, and you're going to help us fight against evil. And they're like, Death's Vault. And like, I kind of expect that to be like, oh, no, like your family. This is like your family's job as part of this. And then it's like, here you go. You're supposed to be the keeper of this holy relic. Like, all right, hooray. I can stand by this. Oh, yeah. And you're related to Mary.
It's a hat on a hat.
Yeah, it's like wearing a really fancy hat that looks nice when you're wearing your jacket. And then someone put like one of those like kids hats that has the propeller on the top of it. And they just set that right on top of it. And it's like, come on. Like, she could have had like this great title and like maybe some other cool stuff. And then you're like, oh, yeah. And you're related to this person. It's unnecessary. Because she still ends up having to stab this person who she thinks is her friend. While they both kind of look at the ghost of someone they knew as a child who didn't help them.
No, not really.
She just stood there.
Well, she's a ghost. I don't know really what she's supposed to do, but
nothing. Like, she didn't do anything in this movie other than just stand and then kind of like hopscotch? It's kind of frolic. Maybe it's frolicking, yeah. Kind of frolic you through the graveyard. Tiptoe through the cemetery with me. The dad telling the son, like, the we've been keeping secrets.
Uh-huh.
Like that bit? I wish that would have paid off more.
He doesn't even come back!
No.
Like, he says, you've got to put the armor on, too, which I was...
No armor.
I was disappointed by the lack of actual armor.
Very
but,
sad.
But he doesn't even, like, metaphorically put his armor on and show up to help. We just never see him again.
Well, okay, so I mentioned the whole car driving thing slowly. Sally steals an ambulance, so that's she automatically Grand Theft Auto right there. And then when she pulls up to the cemetery, like, she just eases right up. It's as slow as possible. Just taking her sweet time. Just keep on going. I'm gonna milk this, so give me a second. Just pulling right up, right beside the other vehicle that her dad drove. Right there. And then just stops. And then blocks the entranceway. Why? Like, pull over to the side or something. She just parked right there in the middle of the entrance. Like, granted, it's up a little head, but, you know, it's an ambulance. Ambulances are large. Why didn't they use that ambulance? They could have loaded her up in that. Or the boyfriend or the dad. Already got one right there. Just...
Well, I did have a question about the ambulance at the end, because there does seem to be one.
And now they have two.
And they have... No, I mean, there's one ambulance in the scene at the end. But they have two people on gurneys.
No, they have two ambulances.
When they
well, okay,
did?
So maybe it's supposed to be two, wink, wink, and they only had one, so they just, like, pulled it forward and then, like, repositioned people. Maybe that was it, because we see her with her dad being loaded, and then she moves on to the next one that's up ahead, and that's where the boyfriend's at. I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine.
I didn't notice that. It looked to me like she looked at two people on gurneys, and we watched one ambulance drive away, and I wondered where they put the other guy.
Well, like, whenever I was watching it, and I saw her kind of, like, do that walk away from her dad to go to the other one, I was wondering if they had multiple ambulances in this small town, or if they're just using the one that she pulled up in.
I mean, it was already there. But then you still can't put two people in it.
No. Well, that's why, like, you know, you have your ambulance drivers bring one, and then it's like, oh, we need another one. Hey, well, you know, there was two of us. You drive that one over there. Matter of fact, there was three of them. There was three people, like these ambulance worker, the paramedics kind of people. What are they called?
EMTs.
EMTs, yeah. Because, like, we see, because I made that Andy Milonakis joke.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was by one of them. And there was two people with the boyfriend because they, like, stop loading him. I want to thank you for believing me. And then they load him up. And so I remember there was two people on that one, and they didn't look like Andy Milonakis. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying. Like, that was my first thought. I also kind of, I want to jump back on the baby thing for a moment, just for a tiny little moment. Because the baby's name is Lily. Which is short, a shorthand for Lilith, and Lilith is also a demon.
But not one they mentioned.
Not one they mentioned. And not one that seems to be relevant for the story, which is okay. I think that's fine. I just thought that was kind of interesting. I almost felt like that was supposed to be like a little, we're going to put a little flag on this for you to notice, and maybe if you have, you know, some demonology behind you, you might have noticed this like, oh, why is the child named Lily? Like, but it wasn't, so that's okay.
No, it doesn't seem like the baby is for very much at all, really.
But the reason why I noticed that so directly was because I have names for my children already picked out, and I would like to name my first daughter Lilith.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, anytime I hear it, like, it's always like, huh, perked ears? What? Huh?
We'll see what your theoretical wife says about this once she exists.
That's a really mean way of putting that.
It's not what I mean. I don't mean it that way.
I'm going to go over in the corner and cry now.
Yeah. Right now, this is just like you with no one else to agree or disagree with, so.
I really would have wished the brother would have shown up. Yeah, at least like a little bit to like help her while the police sheriff was like mowing down witches.
Yeah, I don't know why we had.
And then they could have played like real music, like Rob Zombies, you know. Burn to the witches, and you know, he's over there with a shotgun. He's shooting it very slowly. Like reciting some verses and stuff, which I'm okay with. I think that's kind of an interesting symbolic show of like I'm here to, you know, kick ass and chew bubblegum.
Well, yeah,
and praise the Lord.
He can't.
And I'm all out of bubblegum.
He can't do like real like rites or anything because he's not a priest.
No.
But he's just doing like I guess it's more Revelation quotations. I think it is. So he's just like, I'm gonna say stuff from the Bible at you, and that'll do something because that's how these kinds of things work.
Kerpow. So,
you know, no power of Christ kind of stuff because that's not my department. But I'm gonna quote the Bible at you. But also, I have a shotgun. And that's doing the real work, it seems. Cause they don't like burn from the Bible-ness of the whole thing. They just kind of like look over at him and then he's like, I shot you with the shotgun, and they seem to die from that.
Yeah. So,
the shotgun is what did it.
We don't have holy hand grenades, but we do have shotguns. And holy rings? Like, he just presses it right there on her forehead before she dies, and I guess she just went straight to hell.
We should have shotguns with this kind of deal.
Thank you for giving this gentleman a shotgun. I greatly appreciate it.
It wasn't even, like, loaded with, like, holy salt or anything.
That was my idea. Don't you steal it from me. Because that would have been awesome.
There's no priests.
Nope. I mean,
like, there's a nun.
Maybe they haven't gotten a priest.
No priest.
He's just not there. Maybe he's off doing something, and they're supposed to get a new priest in. He's off doing the exorcism stuff. That's what he's doing.
There's not even like it's not even a group of nuns.
It's just one nun.
We have one nun in this town,
and a whole bunch of witches.
A lot, yeah. We really need some more holy people for the amount of witch. Like, there's a
nah, bro. We got like the best police sheriff in town, the only police sheriff, but the best.
The scales of good and evil are out of balance here. I guess that's what
the shotgun's for. The Templar shotguns bring balance.
The Templar dudes are supposed to be for, but they're not handling the witch problem on an ongoing basis. Really, I don't even think that's the right way of saying it.
They're not even doing it efficiently. Like, no, we know there's witches out here, but we ain't doing nothing.
No, they're not doing anything.
We're just keeping secrets, and my daughter's been gone for 8 months. She'll be back in 1 month. We can do something then, like. Okay. Where's your rat poison?
I'm gonna buy a shovel. It's a nice shovel.
It's a good pick. I like that kind of shovel.
And a bow saw. He's got a bow saw too. Neither of which will poison rats.
No.
I guess you can go bow sawing on a rat.
Well, maybe
that'll probably kill it.
I don't know. Like, it's a hardware store.
You gotta catch it first. It seems like
he went in there. He knew. I'm sure he knew they had shovels and bow saws, and he's just sure. Like, hey, do y'all happen to carry rat poison? Like, I'm in here for this, but if you got this, I need this too, because I need you to step away from the counter so your daughter can look behind it at your ledger to see one page that will never get brought. The whole ledger will never get brought up again.
The first page. It seems like she just opens the cover. There it is. But it seems like it's
the rat poison.
It's kind of the everything store, really. Like, which I guess is, you know, it's like
goods,
the hardware store
in a small town.
It's the
no,
you know,
Walmart.
It's Weird Al's hardware store. You know, it's like, yeah, this every... Because if you look at it from the outside, there's all kinds of stuff you can see through the windows. And there's kind of... There's, like, lettering above, like, at the top of the windows that say, like, various departments that there are in the store. And it's a lot more than just hardware.
Oh, yeah.
At the store. But it does seem to be the only store in town.
As long as I don't see, like, a fresh fruit stand in the middle of it, then I'll be fine. Listen, I'm not going to a general goods store to buy fruit. I'll go to the farmer's market.
Well, even in the sort of old westy kind of, like, you had the, you know, the general store, which might have a little bit of kind of everything, but you would, you know, typically have a dry goods store, and then you might have, after a certain point, a sort of early version of a grocery store where you might have other things, but... It would be, you know, more fruit kind of. You didn't really have that much fruit anyway if all you had was a general store, because there's not much place to get it from usually.
You gotta
ship it from back east and stuff.
The thing is, I don't remember if it was in a movie or was in real life, because, you know, my life's just a blur of boringness. But I remember seeing, like, a stand, and there was just bananas on the stand, and the bananas were outrageously priced. And that's why I make that comment. Like, I'm at a location that should not be selling fresh fruit, and here's this little thing in the center with bananas on it that are, like, 10 times the price you should ever pay for bananas, and they're not even good fresh bananas. So
this wasn't it, like on the floor of a con or something?
No.
It's just like, come on.
No, it was
you
just,
need some fruit.
No, it was like an actual building. That's the thing. That's why I don't remember if it was real life or if it was in a movie. Just remember seeing something. It's like, look at the price of those bananas. My God.
I can't imagine the movie that this is in either, but it could have been. That's a weird thing. Outrageously priced bananas. I'm always a little surprised at the inexpense of bananas in general, because, like, they do kind of have to come from far away, and
it's a, like, 11 cents a pound.
Yeah,
and then, like, oh, well, they're a little high today, they're 16 cents a pound. That's a whole nickel.
A nickel.
You can buy, like, one banana. One banana does not weigh a pound. 8 cents.
Yeah. I mean, even when you buy, like, if you buy a banana at, like, a gas station or something, they're still, like, less than a dollar a banana.
Yeah, it's
and,
so
and
cheap.
You're expecting things to be overpriced at a gas station, and so, like, this is not that expensive for this thing that had to come from, like, across the ocean someplace.
Well, like, I remember before we did, like, Hurricane Heist, you know, like, when we'd have all these other people on the show, and they'd come to the house, and they would just see the thing of bananas. And it's just like, I don't even like bananas, but I'd eat them for breakfast, you know, because, you know, like, the vitamins, the minerals, you know, stuff like that. And they were stupid cheap. And it's just like, yeah, like, I don't even like bananas, but I'll eat about two of them a day.
Bananas. They're stupid cheap.
They are stupid cheap.
So how do you feel about stars?
I don't know. This one's a little bit difficult. Because, like, the things I don't like about the movie, like, other than nobody seems to be able to drive of any speed, I feel like are mostly...
Be careful drivers.
Ugh. My major concerns or dislikes of the movie are, here's all of these wonderful things that don't ever pay off. Outside of that, like, I think the acting is fine. The cinematography is okay. I wish there was a little bit better lighting in certain scenes. You know, it's like, okay, well, like, when she's taking the bath and they have her on, like, the lower third, like, she's submerged and, like, the rim of the bathtub's on the lower third of the screen. And then she, like, slowly rises up a little bit. You see her shift in the water, but there's almost no light, like, in the entire frame. And I kind of wish there was, like, a little bit better lighting for certain things. So I guess I'm going to give it a 3. because I almost feel like, hey, maybe do this again, fix these little portions, or at least make a sequel that can explain or fulfill all of these extra bits. Because like we know the dad's still alive, boyfriend's still alive, brother's still alive, girl's still alive, and there's still going to be witches out there.
I guess the brother's still alive. We don't know. We never see him again. He could have gotten ghost strangled and have...
No, the brother's the one that picked him up at the end of the movie.
Oh, he did pick them up, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where he was.
Like the only acting that was inherently bad were like the kids that were like, oh, we're the paper boys and we're going to the cemetery. But those are kids, so I'm not gonna be like, hey, the kids that you had in this movie were terrible actors because I expect all kids to be amazing. Like, no, I think it's fine. I didn't like that jump cut though, because there was a jump cut like right before like the kid that's on the far right convinces the redhead kid to go in there. Like, don't be a scaredy kid. Ugh. Like that, there's like this little jump cut.
Oh yeah, there's a weird angle thing that happens. Yeah.
Like that's I'd say that's the only thing in that, like, that little portion with the kids I don't like. The rest of it I thought was fine. I still want to know why they killed him.
Yeah. Murder.
He didn't do anything. They don't seem to have sacrificed him, and I don't see if the ghost really did do it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I guess I'll give it a 3.
He never got the baseball, I don't think. He was like, I want that baseball when they're at the murder scene and
someone brings him a baseball signed.
So they ran off with the baseball then.
Probably.
So like, did the ghost take it back to wherever, or did the witches were like, we're keeping this?
I just like the fact that he knew that he was beaten to death with a round object that was probably a baseball. It's like, wow, he's good.
I mean, maybe that it's a small town. Maybe that they just know that, like, yeah, that kid always carries a baseball and he doesn't have it now. So that was probably it. Yeah, I guess I'll have to go with 3 also. The only thing that really takes it down is that there's just all of these like bits here and there that might have gone somewhere. And
yeah.
Because it just never you don't paid know off. Like, if why? They're whether they're going somewhere or not, and you're like, oh, that's interesting, oh, that's interesting. And then it doesn't end up coming to anything.
Well, I know some people might try to associate things like this with Easter eggs. Like, no, man, that was just supposed to be an Easter egg.
It's not an Easter egg.
Like, the infant's name being Lily could have potentially have been an Easter egg because of the association. But all the other things had some kind of direct story connection, so it wouldn't have counted. And, yeah, it left me wanting a little bit more out of it. Still better than a lot of the other horror movies I've seen.
Yeah, I guess it's just it's just kind of twistiness. So it's like, could be over here, could be over there. And we don't really know what. But also, if we're from her point of view, she doesn't know what's going on most of the time. And people are withholding information from her. And so it could be that we're kind of bouncing from idea to idea. She's like, oh, this demonic possession thing. Oh, this sacrifice thing. And she doesn't know that that's not really what's going on. There's just like other weird stuff. Because maybe that's his like Templar ledger. And just like it happens that sometimes you have to sacrifice a pure spirit. But that doesn't mean that's what's happening right now.
Well, I'm normally okay with stuff like that if the entire movie is constantly from her perspective. But we do get various scenes that revolve around other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, no, well, if she's confused, then that's fine if she doesn't know stuff. But we are the audience witnessing things, so we would know a bit more than what she would know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why it's whenever a character knows something that they shouldn't know. It's like, hey, wait a minute. They're not supposed to know that kind of... That's when that becomes such an issue. But, like, there's just... So many good things that could have been used.
Actual armor.
Yes.
I wanted it so bad to show up at the graveyard in just like silver Templar armor.
Oh, God. see, that would have been awesome if the brother was actually like this really nerdy kid. And it's just like, we got to put our armor on. And the kid's just like, Death's fault, Dad, Death's fault. And then like runs home, actually has a suit of like, fake medieval armor, shows up the graveyard with like a replica sword. Like, I'm here to help. Oh, it's already over. Okay. Granted, that'd be too funny, and there's no way they can have that. But I would have laughed.
And so we have to say about Ghost in the Graveyard. Special thanks to Dark Coast Productions for giving us this early access so that we could have this review for you, like, right as it's possible for you to have seen the movie.
Yeah, we really appreciate the reach out. It's nice to know whenever a company, a production, a studio, director, anybody takes interest in the kind of work that we do. Because, you know, we enjoy this kind of content. And anytime someone makes something and wants to share it, you know, we like being right there.
Mm-hmm. And we like to bring things you might not have paid attention to your attention. So... we'll see you next time.
Later.